What's up, everyone? I'm Joe Pompliano, and this is the Joe Pomp Show. Happy Saturday. I hope everyone's having a great weekend so far. I'm recording this podcast on Friday. The first round of the NFL draft was last night, and Detroit absolutely showed up and showed out. 275,000 people, the NFL says, showed up for day one. That's an all-time record for day one attendance at the NFL draft, handily beating the previous record that was set in Nashville a few years ago at more than 200,000. So Detroit absolutely killed it, and the draft itself was great. It never ceases to amaze me that they get more than 10 million people to watch the first round on television. That's more than some of the world's biggest sporting events. I mean, specifically here in the United States, if you think about the Masters this year, the first round of the NFL draft will have more viewers than that, and a lot of other great sporting events too. But today I want to talk about something different. I want to talk about Caitlin Clark. Now, you guys have seen this over the last few weeks, specifically around her pay and her compensation year one in the WNBA. So I'm going to go through it with you guys, talk through some of the pros and cons, why she's being paid what she's being paid, and talk about the future, more importantly, and what that could look like for everyone else. I think you guys are going to enjoy this episode, so let's get right into it. Today's podcast is sponsored by Doer. I'm super excited that Doer is now sponsoring this podcast because they sent me a pair of jeans a few months ago, and they are absolutely fantastic. Finding a good pair of jeans is never easy, especially when you want something you can wear all the time while still looking good and feeling comfortable. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like I try 3 to 4 different brands every year, and they almost always never work out. Some don't fit right, some shrink in the wash, some aren't comfortable, etc. But I was recently introduced to Doer's denim offering, and I think they cracked the code. Doer's denim uniquely mixes classic style with technical performance. It has 360-degree stretch, which keeps you cool throughout the day, and it's become my go-to option for virtually everything, from watching games at the bar to date night. So if you want to upgrade your closet today, give Doer a try. They have a bunch of different options on their website, and the best part is they're offering all of my listeners a special 20% discount code. All you have to do is go to shopdoer.com/pomp. That's shop, DUER.com/pomp. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. Factor is a company that I'm so excited to work with because I've been a longtime customer of theirs before they ever reached out. For those of you that don't know, Factor offers fresh, never frozen meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You have over 35 different options to choose from every week, and they have a bunch of different plans, including low calories, protein plus, and keto. You can add on other things too, like smoothies, pancakes, and snacks. And it has saved me a tremendous amount of time over the last few months. I don't have to worry about what I want to eat. I don't have to go buy groceries for lunch. I don't have to worry about cooking it myself. And I certainly don't have to worry about cleanup. Everything is ready to go in 2 minutes, and they absolutely taste delicious. And here's the best part. Factor is offering all of my podcast listeners 50% off right now. So head to factormeals.com/pomp50. And use code POMP50 to get 50% off. That's code POMP50 at factormeals.com/POMP50 to get 50% off. All right, so I've thought a lot about Caitlin Clark's rookie salary over the last 2 weeks. For those of you who aren't aware, I'll just get you up to speed real quick. Clark's salary went viral during the WNBA draft when it was revealed that she would be paid just $76,535 during her rookie season. That's roughly half of what the average Walmart store manager in the United States will make this year. Now, that's not to give Clark a hard time. Obviously, she's going to make a tremendous amount of money outside of the WNBA, but it gives you a little bit of context on just what some of these players are being paid. Again, it's a 4-year contract worth $338,000. She's going to make $76,000 in year one, $78,000 in year two, $85,000 in year three, and in year four, she'll just come close to $100,000 at $97,000. Now, these are slotted contracts, very similar to what you would find in the NFL draft. It's slotted picks 1 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12, 13 through 24, and 25 through 36. They all get the same amount, and it's descending. The first contract, again, is at $338,000 for the number 1 through 4 picks, and it goes all the way down to $276,000 for picks 25 through 36. Now, obviously, the WNBA doesn't have nearly as many teams as some of the other leagues, so the draft is much shorter. And one of the dirty secrets about the WNBA that I don't think a lot of people realized before this year is that a lot of the players don't end up making the teams because they haven't expanded yet. Now, that will come with time and more players will be able to compete. But the actual competition to make a WNBA team is much, 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 much higher than you would see in a lot of the other professional sports leagues in the U.S. today. But let's get back to the salary. Now, a lot of people took this as an opportunity to publicly promote the WNBA, saying if you want this to change, go buy their league pass, go attend a game, buy some merchandise or something like that. Other people took it as a chance to garner some cheap impressions on social media, talking about how she's not making any money and someone out of college might make more money than she does. And President Biden even fired off a tweet insinuating that WNBA players need to be paid like NBA players. He said, "Women in sports continue to push new boundaries and inspire us all. But right now, we're seeing that even if you're the best, women are not paid their fair share. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure that women are paid what they deserve." Now, obviously, he doesn't mention Caitlin Clark, the WNBA, or the NBA, but it happened right after the draft. There was a lot of discourse going on, and it's pretty obvious that that's what he was talking about. Now, the elephant in the room here is that this really isn't about Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark herself will be fine. She recently signed a $28 million signature shoe deal with Nike, and the former Iowa star made millions in NIL money last year through endorsement deals with companies like State Farm, Gatorade, and Panini. The WNBA, on the other hand, they have a players association that negotiates benefits and compensation directly with the league. This is the same structure that you would see across the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, MLS. It's a players association, a union essentially, that negotiates on behalf of the players with the league for compensation and benefits. But the reason why league-wide pay is so low today compared to the NBA is primarily for two reasons. First off, the WNBA isn't a good business, at least not right now. The league brings in $200 million in annual revenue, but they have consistently lost money over the last 25 to 30 years, and they would have gone out of business had the NBA not subsidized the product. So again, the WNBA is currently being subsidized by the NBA, essentially its big brother. They are funding the losses to help grow the league. Now, by no means am I saying that they should not be doing that. I'm just trying to give you guys context on why the WNBA isn't a good business today. They lose money, and they would not survive if they were on their own. That's okay. The NBA is okay with funding those losses because they see a brighter future for the WNBA. And they think packaging the product together could provide some long-term value. Now, that brings me to number two. The timing of the last collective bargaining agreement, the CBA, that was negotiated between the Players Association and the WNBA itself. The timing of that agreement was super unfortunate. I'll give you an example. WNBA players are only guaranteed a 50-50 revenue share with the league, like you would see in the NBA, if they reach specific financial benchmarks. So the league said, look, we'll split revenue with you, but the league has to be doing okay financially. We literally can't survive if we don't make X number of dollars a single year, and we can't afford to give you 50% of the revenue unless we do that stuff. However, there's one big problem with this. Well, actually two. Number one, those benchmarks that they gave the players that they have to reach to be able to get 50-50 revenue sharing, they compound annually, right? So they're not just set some random date into the future. They compound every single year. And the problem with that is that the last CBA was negotiated literally the month that COVID-19 started. Literally the month that it started. So the following year after that, and multiple years after that, really, where every sports league was getting absolutely crushed from attendance to sponsors to merchandise to concessions to everything else in between, revenues were getting absolutely destroyed. It put the WNBA in a terrible position because now many of those benchmarks, which again have compounded annually on top of each other, those benchmarks now look unattainable because of what happened during COVID-19. This, of course, means that the 50-50 revenue sharing covenants have never been triggered. And WNBA players only receive about 10% of overall league revenue today. Again, NBA players are around 48-50%. Every other major sports league is around there too. But WNBA players, given how little the money the league actually makes and that they don't turn a profit, are only receiving about 10% of overall league revenue because the 50-50 revenue sharing covenants have not been met in their contract with the CBA. Now, this is a little bit weird because there's big market teams that can afford to pay players more, and many owners are willing to do so. I have two specific examples for you. The New York Liberty, they were fined $500,000 by the league in 2022 for providing the team with charter jet services to away games. They also did a wine trip, I think, to Napa Valley, but you guys get the point. The owner is willing to spend more money to transport the team privately, to take them on trips, to do things like that. It's not about the money for the owner. And in Las Vegas, you have Raiders owner Mark Davis. He spent $40 million on a practice facility for the Las Vegas Aces. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. People talk about how he bought the team for $2 million and he's going to make all this money. No, Mark Davis has invested a lot of money in the Las Vegas Aces, and it's part of the reason why they won back-to-back championships. He spent $40 million on a practice facility. And the reason why he did that is because there's virtually no other way to differentiate yourself for free agents in the WNBA outside of practice facilities, right? Because if you can't pay players more, if you can't travel better, if you can't stay in better hotels because you want to maintain competitive balance if you're the WNBA, How can you do that? It's through facilities. So we're seeing now this arms race in the WNBA. The Las Vegas Aces were one of the first teams to do that, where they have this dedicated practice facility only for the WNBA team. That's absolutely incredible. If you guys haven't seen it yet, go look it up. It rivals what you would see with some NBA teams. And now we saw the Seattle Storm do the same thing, and many other WNBA teams are going to have to do it too, because you can't bring these players to high school facilities and they can't be transporting their locker everywhere. I forget who it was. I think it was Candace Parker a few years ago talked about how she never had her own locker in the WNBA, which is absolutely crazy if you really think about a professional sports league not having their own locker. But that's changing, right? And it's one of the ways where these teams are now going to differentiate themselves from other teams, because they can make better practice facilities. But the WNBA says you can't do that through salary. You can't do that through travel. You can't do it anywhere else, because we need to maintain competitive balance amongst all the other teams. So what that means is it's really a simple math problem. Revenues need to increase for players to make more money. This is why you'll often see the best WNBA players traveling abroad each offseason. They're signing seven-figure deals in some instances. Everyone knows what happened with Brittany Griner, to go play in countries like Russia and other European countries. And the reason for that, again, is because the WNBA is in a completely different space than the NBA. I mean, the NBA is 100 years old. So the fact that we're even comparing them to the WNBA, which is only 25 or 28 years old, whatever it is, seems wrong to do. But you guys get the point. The NBA is bringing in over $10 billion in annual revenue compared to $200 million for the WNBA. The NBA currently makes $2.6 billion a year on their TV rights, where the WNBA just makes $60 million a year. The average salary in the NBA is $10.8 million a year, compared to $113,000 per year in the WNBA. And the highest paid player in the NBA makes $52 million a year in Stephen Curry, whereas the highest paid player in the WNBA is Jackie Young, making $250,000 a year. But the reason why I specifically want to talk about the NBA, again, even though it's not necessarily fair to compare the two leagues, is because the WNBA actually reminds me a lot of the NBA. Many people forget that the NBA wasn't a good business back in the day either. Most owners were losing money. The NBA Finals, literally the championship series, was on tape delay. And no player in the league, literally not a single player, was making more than $1 million annually. But this all changed throughout the late 1970s and the 1980s. There's a few guys, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, and Michael Jordan. They all entered the league, ushering in a period of immense growth. These personalities made the league more popular, increasing income through larger media rights deals. I'll give you an example. In 1978, the year before Magic Johnson was drafted, David Thompson was the NBA's highest paid player, making $800,000 annually. Again, no one made $1 million before those guys entered the league. However, by the time Magic Johnson retired in 1996, several NBA players were making $10 million a year, and Michael Jordan at the time was making $30 million a year. This is where the WNBA is today. Literally that period, that 1970-1980 period, if you want to flash back and compare the two, that's where the WNBA is today. The uncomfortable truth is that Caitlin Clark will be underpaid her entire career, similar to how you could argue Michael Jordan was underpaid his entire career outside of two seasons where he made $30 million. He never made more than $2, $3, $4 million a year. And all of his income virtually after retirement has come through endorsement deals and his Nike contracts. Now, Caitlin Clark is a needle mover. That's why she's going to be underpaid. This year's WNBA draft averaged more viewers at 2.4 million than any WNBA game in history. The Indiana Fever will make more money off Caitlin Clark this year through ticket sales, merchandise, and sponsorships than they will probably pay her in salary over the next decade. And Caitlin Clark herself won't see any of the equity upside if the franchise valuation increases. But Caitlin Clark's problem is also the WNBA's solution. It's not hyperbole to say that Clark can have a Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson-esque impact on the WNBA. She is joining the league at the perfect time. The WNBA recorded its best viewership in 16 years last season. Women's sports will continue to receive a larger share of media attention as time goes on, and the league is currently negotiating a new media rights package that should produce 2 times more annual revenue than the last. Those results will compound over time, just like we saw with the NBA. And ultimately, that's why the next generation of players will benefit more than Caitlin Clark herself. Now, this thesis almost entirely relies on the growth of media rights, but I really don't think that's a cause for concern. The WNBA's current base of $60 million is so low that they could easily 10x that over the next 2 decades. That would provide substantially more revenue to the players. But more importantly, it would also kick in 50-50 revenue sharing, leading to an increase in salaries simply by multiplying player distributions. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, Please do me a favor and not only share it with a friend, but leave me a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you're listening to this episode. Help me help you by making this podcast bigger and better than ever before. Otherwise, I hope everyone has a great weekend and we'll talk early next week. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You've probably noticed over the last few years that many more of your family and friends are starting to take therapy more seriously. And it's not just you. I've personally noticed this across my family and friends too. And I think the major reason for this is that they've now noticed that therapy isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. Therapy is proven to help with other things like communication skills, improving mood, increasing self-awareness, and making your relationships stronger. So if you're thinking about starting therapy today, there's no better place than BetterHelp. BetterHelp is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is you go on their website, you fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. They've helped out millions of people with therapy help, and they have 35,000 licensed therapists ready to help you. So visit betterhelp.com/pomp to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/pomp.